What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the seniors. I'm here with not my friend today, but still my co-host, Rob Gray. We're at Casa de Rob. What's up, dude?
Why all of a sudden am I not your friend?
You know why you're not my friend today.
Oh, yeah, Cubs Cardinals.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm wearing my Red Sox hat.
Yeah. I don't care.
To kind of give you a, you know, to not have to visually see that great Cubs C in front of you.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dropped 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. That was pretty weak.
We also have our first ever guest on the Seniors Podcast. That's yes. Jake McDonough.
Yes.
What's up, finally. Dude? Former Cyclone. How's it going, man?
It's great to be here, finally, and at the Casa de Rob.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here.
What were you saying? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say it's been a while in the making. You know, there'd be maybe a window, and then hoops heated up with a certain thing or news, and it was like, well, you know, we want it to be a time where it can be pretty much football, 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 mm-hmm. and great to see Jake here. He's looking fantastic. I know he's been working out.
Trying to.
Yeah.
What are you up to nowadays, Jake?
Man, I've been, it's a long road, you know. I played, obviously, the Jets, the Colts, the Redskins, did a little arena football, did another deal in the FXFL, which was a developmental league, mm-hmm. and did it all, trying to, you know, make, you know, the most of my football career, and then decided to kind of move forward in that, and now I'm doing a little personal training, group exercise training, a couple different places at the Y down in Des Moines, and now I'm up in Boone doing it.
Nice.
One of the guys I'm also training, also helping him out. He owns a seed company up in technically Boone, so I'm helping him with all the farmers and stuff right now. So
cool.
Waiting on this full-time job that I got set up. It's a great facility that's coming down to Des Moines. Peyton Manning's roommate in college started him up in Tennessee. They're called D1 Sports Training. You know, I'm pretty pumped to be involved with that. Excited to see that thing develop and see what happens with that.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing, and we'll touch on a variety of topics. We have an important top five list that's probably going to be harder to narrow down even than the sports movies were last week. But what's the ultimate, what was the ultimate moment of your NFL experience? Was it, you know, making it through the first round of cuts? I mean, there had to have been a moment where you look back and you say, not that that was my biggest achievement, but not necessarily that that's what it was, but this is one that just stands out as I did something, you know, that nobody expected me to do.
Well, the cool thing was is when I was at the Redskins, I was able to play against the Patriots, and they obviously went on that year to win.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to be on the same field as some of those guys, you know, granted all the, you know, talk about Tom Brady and whatnot. It was amazing to be on the same field as him and watch him work.
Yep.
And so being able to play against those guys and know that you can play against those guys and feel confident as you take the field. And I was fortunate enough to play against a lot of all pros, Trent Williams, Nick Mangold, all those guys. Yeah. And, you know, they, you know, perfected my craft each and every day in practice and whatnot. So, you know, it was an experience I can't, you know, even begin to explain. It's just something that, you know, I always remember, and it's fun.
What was it like going from the NFL then going to the arena or the XFL or what is it?
FXFL.
Okay, FXFL, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy different. I remember when I got the, you know, I was informed that I was going to go out to Portland to play a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I've never even, you know, read up on the Arena League, so I better read up on the rules and whatnot. And shorter field. It's like playing on concrete pretty much for us.
Yeah.
It's a little harder on the body. It's a fast-paced game, and it's very different where the ball is being thrown in 1 to 2 seconds rather than 3 to 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. And their three-step drop is actually like one-step drop, and their five-step is actually a three-step. So it's, like, very fast-paced. So, and I feel bad for the little DBs out there that have this guy running full speed at him before the snap of the ball. And, you know, it's a different experience. It's a different game. But, you know, I had fun while I was out there. I got a chance to play on both sides of the ball. And, you know, showcase my skills on offense and defense. So it was fun.
You, I always like to ask people what type of rookie experience they had. You know, because there's so many famous things, whether it be somebody's got to dress up like this or somebody's got to – the boring one is you got to carry somebody's bags and all that. I mean, was there anything at a stop that stood out to you in that regard?
I think the rookie skits everywhere I've been a part of were hilarious. I know the Redskins were pretty funny. I mean, the coach impersonations everywhere you go are hilarious. But, you know, there wasn't anything that was really, you know, that stood out other than, you know, when I was at the Jets, I know if you were a first rounder, you had to, I mean, for the defensive line coach, you had to buy him like a can or something like that. Or, you know, you had to buy him like seeds or whatever it was that he wanted. And so every time he was empty, he expected it on his desk the next day. So that was about the extent of it. But for the, you know, the lower end guys like me, I had a chance to, you know, see it, but I didn't have to really go through all the extensive stuff like they did. But, you know, of course, they make you get up in front of everybody and do something stupid. So, yeah, it was fun, though.
You had music stuff to fall back on. Did you throw anything out there?
Yeah. What was cool was Josh Bush. He's now at the Broncos.
Okay.
He was a guy who produced as well, and he's also an artist as well. So me and him had a chance to actually – I was able to go over to his place, and we were able to make some music together. So that was pretty fun.
What was it like to make music with Tech N9ne?
Oh, man. You know, growing up, I had him on my iPod quite often, you know, and to be around his concerts and all that stuff. And then next thing you know, I'm getting invited down to Kansas City, and I'm around him and the rest of the crew, and in the studio, it's like I've been listening to you like most of my life, and now I'm like watching you record this, and to see him like, you know, use my beats and, you know, my music to write to, I was just like in awe. I was fangirling out bad.
that's awesome.
The tune you guys put together that played at Jack Trice Stadium, I think it was during warm-ups, at least one game. Did it play more than once, or was that kind of a one-shot deal? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, so I kind of made – it was Marcus at the time. Marcus Allen at the time. I was making sure he was playing that every game
because
I was like, I can't let these guys just do like a one-hit deal and done. So, yeah, every warm-up it was playing. I think we had to make sure that it was adjusted – right, just because I don't know who was running the sound at the time, but it was like quiet one week, loud the next.
So I was gonna say, up in the press box, sometimes it must have been very subdued.
Yeah, I know. So I'm looking around like I hear my song barely. But no, it was cool. When I first got it published, I know you know, compliance and everybody was really on my case the first day, like. 100,000 plus views in a couple days. What are you doing? Like, plus your name's up there with Tech N9ne. We might have to make you, you know, take it down just to be safe and all that. And I was like, come on. It's not like I'm making any money off this song, but you know, they're, you know, making sure that they're doing the right thing. And so I had it on there and it blew up quick. And next thing I know, I'm seeing like CBS and like Network and all the stuff is doing little articles on it. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know it was going to blow up like this. And, you know, Tech and the guys are great. You know, they were able to do that track, the drum line. I loved it because they were able to whip together a great little piece that they actually ended up using for their band season, and it was really cool. So I think, you know, I can announce it now that I'm working on a new one for this year because of a new era and whatnot, so. Yeah, nice. you heard it first here.
Awesome. Breaking news on the seniors.
That's going to be, as my son says, it's going to be dope.
Yeah, that's a good word. I use that word.
Dope's a classic one, too. They used to say it in all the old school rap as well.
Derek just earned a little bit more street cred with
that. This is new.
Yeah. So, speaking of the new era, what have been your impressions of Matt Campbell?
Man, you know, first-class guy. I was up there, you know, I've kind of had a – a deal where I go to check out the new coach every time he comes in. I was there for Rhodes' first speech, and I had to check out Campbell, you know. Got a chance to talk with him right away. Great guy. Invited us, you know. He's like, you and any of the other former players would like to have you guys around and whatnot. And he's been very welcoming. And, you know, so far, and I've told you this guys this before, if there was a preseason award for this guy, I think he should have it. He's done all the right things. You know, he's demonstrated that he can recruit very well already. You know, I'm excited to see what he can do with this program.
What's the most impressive thing of all those elements? Because I think you're right. In every step, he's done something that if you look at it, you say, could you have done that better? And, you know, whether it be getting out really early on the next recruiting class as quickly as they can, or whether it be just the way they reached out to so many former players, and excuse me, including you, spanning generations back. I mean, Matt Blair, my gosh, as a growing up a Vikings fan, it's great to see him. And those guys were around occasionally, but Campbell made that a real priority. I mean, there's so many things that he's done that seem right from a PR standpoint, from a football standpoint. What seems the most impressive to you at this point?
Yeah, I mean, just that, you know, being around such great talent like Matt Blair, Sage Rosenfeld, Seneca Wall, seeing those guys together all in one sitting was kind of, again, a fangirl moment for me, because I was like, you know, growing up an Iowa kid, you know, I was one of those kids that knew all the rosters and all that stuff, so I grew up watching like J.J. Moses and those guys, and to see them again.
Our guy, J.J. Moses.
He's the man.
Size House of Trivia.
He's the man. But, yeah, I mean, to see, you know, what Campbell has done so far, and to involve the fans and the student section, to have them come out to a practice, I think that's one thing that I wish I could have had when I was a player, to, you know, interact with the fans like he's having them out on the field, participating in different drills and whatnot. Not always succeeding, but no, you know, it's great. It was a great atmosphere. I think it was a different atmosphere than what I've normally been around. Not knocking any of the other coaches by any means, but I think it's different from what I'm used to, but I enjoy it. I think it's a different thing that he's bringing to the table that kind of separates him from the other coaches, and I think he, you know, is winning every category so far.
It seems fairly uncommon. This student thing intrigued me, too. I don't know, because I haven't been around a ton of programs, and maybe it's done a lot elsewhere. But it seems like in a lot of schools, there's this wall between so-called jock and student, even though you're student athletes and all that. And it seems like Campbell is intent on, you know, tearing down that wall, for lack of a better term. Yes, you're different. You're scholarship athletes in most cases and all that, but really build a different kind of camaraderie with the fan base. It isn't just you walk into a class and some kid goes, oh, great game, or nobody says anything if it wasn't a great, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And I think it's great, you know. And I think he said something along the lines of, you know, this is your team to the kids. And this is, you know, we want you to be the most feared stadium atmosphere in the country. And it starts here with you guys. And, you know, I thought that was really cool that he's involving everyone, not just his present team that he's coaching. He's involving the whole former players, the fan base, everything. It's just a different atmosphere, and it's great.
Hold that thought real quick. I've got to give a quick shout out to my guy McKinley. I met him at the Cyclone Fanatic tailgate Saturday afternoon, and Performance Concrete Polishing, the sponsor of the seniors every single week. Give him a look in there at their showroom out in Urbandale. He said he's going to have me and Rob out there.
Excellent.
Out there shortly. Excellent. You can give him a call at 515-202-6706. Check him out online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com. If you want some beautiful concrete work for this house, Rob. It's already a really nice house. It could use some nice concrete.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can use some improvements, particularly in the garage area. You know, I was just out there, you know, because you'd park the vehicles in there, all the gunk drips off from the snow and everything, and you're just taking the push broom to it, you know, and it's this pile kind of, you know, so that would just slide right off.
Yeah.
This polished concrete surface.
They're easy to clean, and they're beautiful. That's pretty much all you need to know. So check them out in Urbandale. Check them out online, performanceconcretepolishing.com, or give them a call, 515-202-6706. We're going to know everything we need to know about polished concrete after we go visit McKinley. That's what he told me.
And I feel terrible that I didn't get to meet him at the tailgate, but it's because I had a true senior moment and got to Ames and realized I'd left my laptop sleeve back. Well, I can't report on the spring game very well without my laptop, so I got back, and I got back just in time for the interviews with Sage and A.J. Klein and some of those guys, Seneca, that were around the Jacobson Building atrium, so that was a bad job out of me.
It's okay. We still love you.
I appreciate it, man.
Struggle buses.
Yeah, I know. I know. I have my moments.
I guess moving back to football, and then if you look on the field, this year, kind of the big question mark for Iowa State's going to be the offensive line. Coming off of last year, what are these new coaches going to need to do? What are they going to need to emphasize for them to have a better offensive line than they did a year ago?
We just got to stay healthy more than anything. You know, that was the thing I've noticed we've struggled with is injuries. You know, we've been plagued with them. You know, if we can get a cohesive group on the field that, you know, can maintain their health throughout the year, I think, you know, these coaches, Coach Manning, I think he's a heck of a coach. You know, his resume speaks for himself. And I think he's going to put the best five guys on the line, and I think they're going to do their job. I just think, you know, as long as we can stay healthy, I think we'll do fine.
When you look at the D-line, and I know that's where your bread was buttered, you know, so to speak, but you were all over the place throughout your Cyclone career. Wasn't it O-line as well? Didn't you?
Almost.
Tight end.
I was almost there.
Okay. I thought they were talking about it at one point.
They were. When I was going through my sickness, I was down to like 220. I don't think I was doing very good at the D-tackle position, so they were talks of switching me over to the dark side, as we called it.
I know Shane was really proud of you, Shane Burnham, for pushing through all that, because that was poorly understood what you were going through.
Yeah.
Because it was almost, I mean, it was so rare, and I know you mentioned it was a parasite involved in the whole thing with the food. I mean, it's not even really so much allergies, it's just something happened to your insides, your system that caused you to react poorly to food, right?
It was crazy, you know. Every day I would have a bowl of cereal before I go, you know, out on the field and whatnot, and it was almost like my stomach was just shutting everything off, you know, and I couldn't eat without getting sick, you know, and it was crazy. I thought something was up, and, you know, no one knew what was going on for the longest time, and then they found out, you know, the gallstones, they found out the parasite and all that, and basically with that parasite, it was basically triggering like a deal where it was, you know, not allowing me to eat certain foods and whatnot, and you know, it was tough, you know, because here I was, you know, I would drink milk all the time, I would do all this, and then to be told that you can't have that anymore, I was like, man, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, over time I was able to, you know, incorporate, you know, the certain foods back in, and now as of a few weeks ago, I'm now drinking milk again. This is a good step in my life. And so, you know, I'm blessed to be – you know, far from where I was before. You know, like I said, I was down to, I think, about 220 at my least, and I had lost about 80 pounds, you know, during that whole process. And it was tough because, you know, all the nutrient stuff, I couldn't get them throughout the day, so I was no energy, could barely get out of bed. There was times where, you know, because I didn't have all the energy, I would, like, fall over or pass out and all that stuff. So it was like I couldn't control it, and so – yeah, it was frustrating because, you know, I didn't have an answer, and I'm sure, you know, the frustration level grew for the coaches and my other teammates as well. So, you know, to battle back from that, you know, I took that as a, you know, chip on my shoulder to kind of prove not only to them but to myself that I could do it. So, you know, finally by my senior year, I think I was at probably the best shape of my college career, and, you know, I was able to continue to excel.
Should we do our top five?
Well, shall we?
Or do you have any more questions to ask, Rob?
I let's try the top five, and then maybe, you know, another one or two.
Definitely.
Comes at us.
All right, so you say it was tough for you to narrow it down. Do you have some honorable mentions again? I don't have any honorable mentions this week, I'll be honest.
There are so many, you know, growing up in Ames, you know, there's so many names I can look back in the past. Now, do these have to be all living?
I mean, no.
Folks, okay, okay. But, I mean, think back to so many greats, but, I mean, honorable mentions, Julius Mikulik, I was fortunate enough to do a feature on, and Fred Hoiberg loved him, and I love how Fred would tell the story about him learning English by watching Matlock, and they were roommates, and
Matlock's
Fred
a great
was
show.
Just, not Matlock again, not Matlock again, and Mikulik has a tremendous sense of humor. I know he can be a pretty hard-nosed coach, as far as I've heard.
I actually want to talk about that later. Yeah. he's on my list, man.
Yeah. So it's an honorable mention. I mean, there's so many greats in so many sports. I mean, I'm having a hard time picking between interesting, totally different people, but for former men's basketball players, one recent, Melvin Edgem. Was such a stand-up guy and such an interesting guy, a guy with an interest in history. I have an interest in history. It's taken him to places I've been, mm-hmm. Rome, and other places, obviously, many other places. And I think it would be just interesting to, I don't know, have a fine scotch or, in your case, a Busch Light, and just kind of talk about that stuff. Not even so much Sweet 16 this or the game against TCU, et cetera, you know, the record-setting game. And Kenny Pratt, great Cyclone of a different era, and you know, infamous in some ways for everything from some of the D-League things and some of the things that happened, but a great player, and as far as I can tell, a great character too. So he would be a lot of fun. So those are some guys sort of towards the, and again, it's hard to come up with an order, but are sort of at the. I mean, is Levi Peters a former player? Because we're narrowing this to former players, it would be kind of.
Yeah.
Current, you know, kind of different, but I guess he's a former player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pretty much.
I can't imagine Levi wouldn't be a heck of a lot of fun to throw back a beer or two with.
Jake,
oh,
I've got
be wild.
I've got to ask you what your drink of choice would be in this situation.
I don't even know. Tough choice. You know, with the summer coming on, I wouldn't mind a Long Island.
Okay, respect.
That's nice.
Okay, so Rob's got his scotch. I've got my Busch Light. And then Jake's got his Long Island. So what? All right, who wants to go first? Who's their number five? Rob, you go. Just kick it off.
All right, I'll go first. I decided to go Melvin Edgem over Kenny Pratt for the reasons that I talked about. I just think he's such a fascinating guy. He his whole journey at Iowa State is marked by class, mm-hmm. being a stand-up guy, being a guy that wasn't. He wasn't at the top of the recruiting list either, and he made himself – stayed after McDermott left. I mean, there's upheaval there, and he stayed and stuck it through and is one of the all-time great Cyclones and part of – you know, huge part of one of the all-time great seasons a couple years back too. So urbane, I think, an urbane guy, a man of the world, probably a lot of interests that would be fun to discuss with him.
Melvin Edgem strikes me as a guy that would drink at Welch Ass Station.
Yeah, just chill. I mean,
yeah,
it wouldn't be. There'd be, yeah.
He's not going out to Mug Night. He just wants to go sit in the corner at Welch Ass Station and relax.
Yeah.
My number five is Paul Rhodes. Mm.
Great choice.
Just
great choice.
I would just love to hear if it was like a sit down and we're going to be honest with each other. I'd just like to hear what was going through his head during some of the situations that they went through the last several years and. I'd like to just get his honest opinion on things, to be honest, on some stuff.
So that would be a wild ride. He's a great guy.
we were fortunate. His staff would always come out to the Cyclone Fanatic parties, and, you know, you couldn't ask for a more personable guy and magnetic guy under those circumstances. And, man, a lot of incredible rides. I mean, you were in the program through some of them that people lose sight of is, you know, throughout all this. I was going to mention, honorable mention, just almost everybody on that staff. I loved having a beer with the Burnhams at those situations. I mean, such colorful people, good people, candid people. You know, they're not going to sugarcoat anything. And a lot of people on that staff that were a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rhodes, I don't know if you guys saw the video of him mic'd up down in Arkansas. Well, that just popped up on my feed, and I decided to check it out. And, you know, he's still just as vibrant as he was here. So, you know they're getting a good coach down there.
For sure. Definitely. Mark Mangino, I'm going to say I put him on my honorable mention list.
That's a great
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, just to well, we did see the bowl of fake oranges that
that's true.
At Allen Fieldhouse that commemorated his Orange Bowl.
I still think it's hilarious that they've got this the Orange Bowl trophy tucked away like in this in its like side case with a bunch of other random trophies. No mention anywhere else of Mark Mangino or the 2007 Orange Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a rather ignominious conclusion for him too, with the, you know, both there and at Iowa State. Kind of a, I'll just leave it at that.
All right, who you got, Jake?
All right, my number five is Jamal Tinsley. I loved watching him play basketball growing up, and to see his career progress and all that, I would definitely like to sit down and talk basketball with that man.
Great choice.
Yeah. I think he'd have some interesting stories, like. That is a guy that I think lived a really interesting life. To go from the playgrounds in New York,
Rucker Park,
to where you're playing junior college basketball in California, and all of a sudden you're playing at Iowa State, and you're one of the best point guards in the nation.
Yes,
that's a heck of a story, man.
Exactly, and to just hear it from him, I would just be, you know,
right
again, ready for it.
Iowa State's had a lot of great New Yorkers that could probably tell some of those stories. Michael Nurse, I mean, never rose to that, but. Famously, I think, played the next day after getting hit by a bus. Michael Nurse did.
Oh, man.
And I remember covering him. There used to be a something so-called, I think they call it, I don't remember, but it was the IBL. It was a minor league basketball team, and I covered it for the Des Moines Register. And they won a title. And Mike Nurse, a former Cyclone and still scout, I believe, coached the team. And Michael Nurse was on the team. So it was
he was the player, the coach?
Yeah. Oh, I did a huge feature on it. It was one of the first features that I did. So Michael Nurse played, and Mike Bourne was the coach.
Oh.
But Nurse was interesting player. And another, I guess, you know, New Jersey, New York, you know, all that stuff. But just wanted to throw him in there, too.
All right, who's number four?
Number four is... somebody that I believe Jake knows. I don't know if he knows him well, because I'm not sure that anybody does. But it's the ever elusive and ever interesting and sometimes unbelievably dynamic former Iowa State quarterback, Steele Jantz.
Oh, man, he's on my list, too. I love Steele. He's crazy. But, yeah, I've been trying to keep tabs on him now. I see a picture pop up every now and then. And you know, you see all the see all the Twitter accounts and everything. You always wonder, is it really him?
It'd be funny if Steele Jantz had actually ran the not Steele, like the fake Steele Jantz account whole time.
And the funny thing is he always joked that it was him. And then at the end of the day, we were like, well, is it? Because it might actually, you know, he's just that kind of guy. He's funny, you know. He's a, you know, a Northern Cali kid. So, you know, he's a. They always said the Northern Cali kids are always different. So, you know, he's a crazy cat. But, you know, I'm always curious to see what he does with his life. I think I saw some picture of him next to a truck.
Yeah.
Pop up around. So I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, we're going to try to get in touch with Steele one of these days. But he's one of those guys that he once told me for a story. And he told people all kinds of crazy stories. The one... Bobby Legesse of the Ames Tribune did a sit-down interview feature with them. And they go through the interview. It's kind of the standard stuff. And at the end, Steele stops and says, as best to my recollection, I'm relaying this, he said something like, oh, you might find this interesting. Yeah, for a lot of months when I was at City College of San Francisco, I lived in my truck. Bobby told me, he was like, what? You didn't mention that? Oh, you just might, you know, find that interesting. And then he once told me that all he needed to do, he said all his teammates gave him crap for not really having video games or any of that stuff, or he said something like that, and said all he needed to do, first of all, he could pack up everything he had in 10 minutes and leave, and no one would ever know that he'd been there.
That's crazy.
And also that all he needed was his Bible and something else. That was it. And he could go off anywhere. Stories of camping and living in the Sierra Nevadas. I mean, what a fascinating guy. but a mystery.
Exactly. You know, he would always pop in and out of my apartment when we lived at the Grove. And
hey, that's where I used to live. Nice.
Oh yeah, we were. I think we were one of the first ones to live in the Grove, so it was a bumpy ride, but we got through it.
It's okay. It's still pretty bumpy. I just lived there last year.
Love it. No, yeah, he would always pop in and out, and you know, you never knew when he was coming or going, but he would always show up randomly, and you know, he's a character, but I loved him.
My number four is Bryce DeJean Jones.
Mm. Ooh.
Another guy that just had he just had an interesting experience at Iowa State. So I'd like to have his like honest thoughts of what was going on when he was in Ames.
Yeah, that would be worth having. I mean, but how much of, you know, what he became, you know, famous blow up late in the season, locker dust up or whatever, you know. But the guy, there were a lot of times where I think in some ways he gets a bad rap. And I know that he got at least one bad rap, and that was with the wording and everything else associated with that arrest, which, you know, was – there were a lot of things done wrong under those circumstances. And I wonder how much that, you know, shaded his view of being there and being a part of the community and all of that. You know, not to say he didn't make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's for certain. But there were some, you know, you just never know. And that would be very interesting to have him elucidate just how that went down.
Yeah. My number four would definitely have to be Dan McCarney. Mm. You know, he was one of the coaches that recruited me early on in high school. And to get to know him and his family and all that, I think it was, you know, he's one of the most vibrant coaches, again, you know, most vocal, I should say. And I don't know a time where he didn't lose his voice when I was around. And so, you know, to sit down with him and hear a bunch of his stories, you know, especially catching up where he's been and what he's been up to with North Texas, Florida, all that. So I would definitely like to sit down with him and have a nice little drink.
I'm freaking jacked, man.
That's a great choice. And another example of somebody brought back in to, you know, I'm sure when he spoke to the current players.
Ready to run,
you know,
through a wall.
Yeah, they weren't they weren't sitting back in their chairs. You know?
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that's a great choice. I kind of had – we're going to number three, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of had him there, but I also had another number three, even though to many Cyclones he's not – just a Cyclone, but Dan Gable, you know.
Definitely.
One of the great wrestlers of all time. Some views the great, you know, greatest wrestler of all time. I mean, his career at Iowa State, the Olympics, and I having had the chance to interview him a couple times, too, when I covered wrestling for 1 year at the Register. As colorful a guy as you could, and another guy uses a no-nonsense. I think there's a thread in kind of a lot of our choices, people that aren't, you know, a lot of the choices anyway, that they're just flat-out going to tell you what they think, and, you know, they don't suffer fools. So incredibly, he allowed me to interview him a few times, so I must have at least not seemed like a fool, but just a fascinating figure, and, you know, one of the great, I mean, the Olympic stories, again, ultimate competitor, for sure.
My number three, this one's kind of obscure, Todd Blythe.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's and really it's only because the first time I ever went to Jack Trice Stadium, Iowa State was playing Nebraska, and I called in to the Nebraska pregame show, and I asked them if they thought there was any chance that Todd Blythe could have a big game. Well, he did. And he had caught like three touchdown passes, and they destroyed Nebraska. So I've always remembered Todd Blythe for that, and I just like talk to him.
Fellow CIMLer.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he was in Indianola.
Yep, yep.
Hey.
That's another person I got to cover. I covered a track meet he was in, and some sub-state, heck of a, as you might imagine, a heck of a basketball player as well. And track at, you know, high jump, a lot of things. Just what a you know, dynamite athlete.
My number three is kind of a duo, the Davis brothers. You know, I think Troy and Darren, I think they would be awesome to sit down and talk with. They were both, you know, great running backs for our university. And especially Troy, I would like to sit down with him and, you know, talk about the back-to-back, you know, 2,000-yard seasons. I think that's an incredible feat that not many people get to say they did. So I would definitely like to talk, you know, a little ball with him.
I'd like to pick his brain on not winning the Heisman. Yes. Or get his genuine thoughts on not winning the Heisman that year.
And then how about how long it took for College Football Hall of Fame? I mean, what he did and to do it at Iowa State, those weren't good McCartney teams. Those were bad McCartney teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tried hard. You know, anybody plays for McCartney tries hard. They just hadn't built up enough depth and enough talent. But he was able to, I mean, what he did, and I've heard stories about times that he, you know, you're going into every game knowing that the other team says, there's one guy that can hurt us. It's one guy that can hurt us on their offense, and it's this Troy Davis guy. So we're going to do everything, load the ball. We're going to do everything to stop him. He's not going to hurt us. He'd rush for 230 yards anyway, which is insane. I mean, when you think about it, another. I mean, I'm liking all of your guys' choices, well as mine, of course.
It's your turn.
All right, so we're up to number two.
Yeah.
This was kind of easy, and it was kind of hard to put him at number two. I just, you know, like the movie list, I try to, I don't know, somewhat creatively approach it. But Johnny Orr, I think, would have to be a guy you'd want to sit down and have a beer with. You know, what he did for Iowa State basketball, you know, literally from the trash heap. Also ran deciding, you know, to come from Michigan. The interactions, you know, you can look him up on YouTube with Dick Vitale, where he goes, "We kicked your ass," you know, and the NCAA selection shows. And I mean, from everyone that I've ever talked to that was able to play golf with him and have a beer or two, just not only, I mean, look, he could speak a blue streak, you know, and everything else, but one of the most genuine people, I think. It's been around, so that would be somebody who would be just great to talk to, just his experiences, and to even ask him the impact, if you know, did he understand how big of an impact he had on Iowa State athletics?
My number two, Rob, I don't know who I'm talking about, but my number two, Julius Mikulik. I hardly even alive during his playing career, but when I was in the fourth grade, my friend's dad took us to a basketball camp in Harlan, and Julius Mikulik was a guest coach at this camp. And he actually spent some time on the Harlan staff, and then he went on to Tri-Center. Now I think he's the girls' coach, maybe. I'm not sure if he still is.
I think he moved on to Fort Dodge.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he's still coaching somewhere. But at this camp, we were on a team, and he coached my team, and he yelled at me the whole camp for like 3 days. We went to Harlan, and he yelled at me the whole time, and I remember him still in my mind with his accent just tearing into me. I was in the fourth grade, and this guy would not lay off. So there's no way he would ever remember that, but I do, and I'd want to bring that up to him.
Yeah, he was just trying to get you better, man.
I guess so.
Trying to make you more mentally tough.
He is the reason that I succeeded in basketball. No, not really.
But I was going to say, I guess you feared that.
But you remember that. But you remember that so well.
Yeah.
You know, it made an impression of some sort.
I just remember that the court didn't have lines on it, and I dribbled the ball straight out of bounds. I mean, I was in the fourth grade, so like, if the lines aren't there, I mean, I don't know what you want me to do. And I just remember him yelling, How do you dribble across the line? You don't see the line there? I was like, no, I don't see the line. Yeah. Julius Mikulik.
Great guy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, from talking to him, those interviews, I mean, really dry sense of humor. It's right up my alley anyway, that type of sense of humor. So, all right.
I would say my number two is Ben Bruns, our own Ben Bruns. I think... little do people know, he helped at Valley a little bit when I was in high school. And honestly, you know, to see him go into the weight room, and he would put up 315 and just go to town on the bench press, and I was in high school just like wide-eyed, like, this guy came in here and made me look like a fool. And so, you know, he kind of motivated me to, you know, I always would try and, you know, what I wanted to emulate what he did to be successful. And so watching him, you know, in our weight room or watching how he coached and telling these kids what he did to be successful on and off the field, and that kind of stuck with me, you know, throughout, you know, my whole career at Iowa State. And And, you know, I finally got a chance to tell him this at the past spring game. And, you know, I'd like to sit down with him and have a chat with him and kind of go over, you know, our lives, basically.
As good a commentator as there is, I think, sideline and just offering his nutshell analysis at the end, too. I mean, it's just even measured but insightful at the same time. It just, boom, lays it out there. And you've, you know, you've learned something, whether he has 25 seconds or 2 minutes to deliver it.
Who's number one, Rob?
Paul Shirley.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's one of the ones I thought of earlier. Yeah.
On so many of those great teams, Tinsley, Visor, I mean, you know, that just to hear it, because I, doubling back to Michael Nurse, he was on that team that lost to Michigan State. In the Elite Eight, and just his stories were amazing. But a guy like Paul Shirley, who's a natural storyteller, has a real wit to him. I mean, is very funny and also blunt. I think that would be a heck of a journey. That would be one of those you'd like to start in the old to look back, you know, the after class, start after class and take it deep into the night, because the stories he could spin, you know, without even embellishing, and then let alone with this creativity taking over, that would be quite a ride, I think.
He played with, the Steve Nash Suns, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and he carved out a nice little career for himself there.
Well, yeah, in his book he's talks about, I mean, isn't it, what is it, Can I Keep My Jersey, isn't that the name?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He played a lot of places. Mm-hmm. All right, my number one is Jamal Tinsley for, I mean, the same, pretty much the same reasons we talked about before.
Yeah.
Yes. He was the first Iowa State athlete I can really remember, besides Seneca. First Iowa State basketball player, I guess. So, he's got a special place for me.
Yeah.
I just like to pick his brain.
And there are just countless others. I mean, you mentioned Seneca, and the fact that that didn't even cross my mind.
I was just
going to
say,
like, what?
You know, now that I'm thinking about
thinking?
It, why is he not in my top five?
Like, you know, there are so many. You know, the top five is a tough. I mean, there are others we won't even mention that are, you know.
So people are going to say, why didn't he mention this one? Because that's what they said to us last week with the movies.
Because exactly.
Because everyone's different.
Yeah.
And everyone plucks memories from different spots and sort of puts a list together. That's what makes such lists fun to discuss, because you have that what was I thinking moment. Although I don't think any one of us has a problem with our list or the other guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are all rock solid, very interesting what if propositions.
All right, who's number one, Jake?
It's kind of cliche, but it's Jack Trice. You know, I would
love to
you know, see, you know, what he thinks of, you know, what we've done, and to honor his name and to, you know, see where we've come from, where he was, and, you know, just to hear his stories of, you know, the struggle of, you know, being an African-American running back and having to go through all the, you know, trials that he did, and, you know, just to hear his side of the story.
That's, I think, it. Someone like Jim Walden would actually be, sorry, this, I kind of turned the page on you, but, like, I was just thinking about seeing the, how far everything's come. That, like, that'd be a, make Jim, like, Jim Walden somebody interesting. But,
well, and he had that talk show for a long time with Jim Zabel before Jim Zabel passed away, and I got to talk auto racing with them once on their talk show, and that was one of my beats way back in the day. Another guy who naturally is a conversationalist, I think, and yeah, he'd be an interesting guy too, and great mention of Trice too, because I mean, so there's a good deal amount known. But just imagine if there had been a recording preserved of him.
Oh,
but, you know, the tragedy that befell him, you know, these are sudden things. And nobody, you know, his stories, it's like so many stories of pioneers in that way, that have to you know, go through basically BS from horribly ignorant people and institutions, and then find a way to get to that next level, you know, in personal development is, you know, beyond inspiring. Just a great, great example. Great, great pick.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't think of anyone else, but, you know, and then we brought up Seneca, and I was like, man, you know, he's another one. He was, again, another one that got me fired up about Cyclone football, the run and everything, and, you know, Wagner coming in and hitting, you know, that poor Texas Tech defender, you know. It's crazy. You know, there's an endless list that we could go through, but.
Yep.
Definitely. Make sure and send us your lists on Twitter. We want to see who you've got. I've got to give a shout-out to Jay Wright. He was at the tailgate on Saturday. He gave us our topic for today. And, yeah, he's our guy. So
for sure.
He sent us. He even gave Rob some trash on Twitter. So I've got to respect him for that.
Well deserved, you know, for the laptop incident.
All right, now we need a topic for next week now. So we need somebody to send that to us. So there we go. What else you got? You got anything else?
I don't know. It was fun.
It was fun. Thanks, Jake, for coming on.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Anytime.
Love having you.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to or general thoughts
on
the state of the world?
What's going to be your close? What's going to be your closing thing? Everybody's going to remember you for the last thing you say. Just kidding.
Man, that's big pressure right there. I'm just trying to get like you guys.
Is there you got any music up on iTunes or some of the old tracks
on YouTube,
you know, commemorated?
Are they on YouTube?
Yeah, I will have to. I believe you guys follow me on Twitter,
yep.
The Training Fuel,
at
Training Fuel. I post a lot of motivational stuff,
yep.
Mainly for myself, but get myself going for the day. But if someone else likes to see it, by all means, you know, there it is. But I'll start posting some music stuff on there as well. I got some stuff cooking with different artists and whatnot. Don't know how much I'm supposed to say, but, you know, I have some cool things coming up, and, you know, I'll definitely let you guys hear it first. So, you know, you guys have been great to me, you know, might as well give you guys a little benefit here.
That's fantastic.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jake McDonough. Thanks, Rob Gray.
Thank you.
We'll have at least two more podcasts during this week, so make sure and check out those, and then we'll have some recruiting news later in the week as well. Thanks for listening, dudes.